and we thank you for all the programs and connect groups and outreach events and ministries that have gone on, the services on Sundays. Lord, thank you for being in our midst, and not only touching our hearts, but through us, touching the lives of many people. Lord, may we truly be a light to the nations in Hanoi and beyond, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give a brief message before I start talking about the vision for this next year. In line of this series, I really appreciate Pastor John has been the one who's developed this sermon series and quite a number of the series where we work on it together. But coming up with the word chosen, it really starts to resonate with me. You know, over centuries, maybe millennia, the churches have argued about being selected or elected or chosen or free will or whatever. And I say, yes and amen. God has chosen us. And what I really appreciate when the first sermon, we looked at the introduction of the letter that Peter wrote at the churches to the churches in Asia who were being persecuted. And he uses what is in NIV translated elect. But the wording in Greek there is eklektos. Eklektos, from which we get our English word eclectic, meaning choosing a whole diverse range of things. And, you know, just look around. We are an eclectic group of people, yes? Yeah. God is an eclectic God. He loves people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And so Peter is writing to this eclectic group of believers that were fighting persecution in the first century. And he's writing them to say that they are chosen. They're a chosen community. They're chosen to worship him. They're chosen to support one another. They're chosen to proclaim him. And they're chosen to do good. They are a chosen community on mission to follow Jesus' example. Even in the midst of persecution, you know, you would think these Christians were suffering so much. And you think about the Christians who are persecuted today in the Middle East in particular. We just saw on the news again this week how 26 were just cold-bloodedly massacred. You think, well, you give them a break, you know. If they have just worship services, that'd be enough. But Peter is challenging them here, even in chapter 2, that it's not just about community, it's also about mission, even despite the persecution, or maybe even because of it. He writes, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. Now, they were far away from the temple, and many of them were not even Jews. But God, Peter is saying that Christ now is the living cornerstone of a new temple, that Jesus was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And so you also have been rejected by people, but he has chosen you also as living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. And so Peter is saying that, yes, you are far away from Jerusalem, and some of you are not even Jews, and you cannot get together in a building, but when you gather, Jesus is the living cornerstone, and each one of you is the living stone of a new spiritual temple, a new community that God is building. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Now, the Jews were never able to please God without sacrifice. But now that Jesus has sacrificed himself through Jesus, we can please him in this new community that God is building. But not just that. He says, dear friends, I warn you, and this is a literal translation of the Greek words, temporary residents and foreigners. Anybody identify with that? Temporary residents and foreigners. He's saying, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, as expatriates, as strangers living in a strange land, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Now earlier Peter was saying, because Jesus has paid the price, so live holy lives. You're chosen to be holy. But now he's saying, wage war against the enemy of your soul, because you should be careful to live good lives among your unbelieving neighbors. Now I've picked here the New Living Translation because I really appreciate how they have translated these words, but the actual Greek word ethnos means, you know, where we get ethnicity from. And Peter's writing, you are living like foreigners, like expatriates, like foreign residents, temporary residents among the nations, among other tribes. And so don't let this persecution get to you and get under your skin so that you kind of give in to sinful behaviors. No, be on your guard. Wage war. Because the other nations are watching you. And so if you live good lives, that even though they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your good work. And they will give honor to God when He judges the world. You know, the word for work is from ergon, from which we get ergonomics. And you know what it means? It actually means work. Peter's saying, we're not just talk. It's not just about worship services. It's not just about getting together as this community, but also doing good work, actual deeds that people can see, that they can experience, that they can benefit from, so that when the nations watch your life, watch what you're doing, and what you do for them, they will give honor to God. By doing so, we are following Jesus' example. Jesus, who wasn't just talk. He didn't go around just talking. Jesus was going around preaching the gospel of the kingdom and doing good. Even though he was rejected by people, he'd become our perfect example. He who did his work, carrying our sin to the cross that led to his death, now has caused the nations to honor God. It says he never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threatened revenge when he was suffering. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. So instead of fighting for his right, which is what seems to be humanity's passion these days, you know, we all want to have our own right. Jesus instead personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. He traded our sin in for his death, so that we can trade his life for ours. By his wounds, we are truly healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. And so we are a chosen people. We are an eclectic selection of people from all over the world, gathered here in Hanoi, Vietnam. And together we are God's chosen community. We are living stones. You know, it's so nice to have this facility, but to many of us, this doesn't look like a church building. We're an office building. But that's such a privilege, even if you consider the context here today. But it's not really about building. Churches isn't about buildings. It's when we get together, we form a spiritual temple. And in our offerings, in our sacrifices, in our praises, in our very lives, we can please God because of Jesus. But it's not just about that. God has also called us and chosen us to do good works. We are God's community on mission. And that is really the framework that I want to use for sharing with you our vision for this coming year. If we can switch slides. You know, it's such an exciting time to be in Hanoi, Vietnam. I don't know how many of you are new the past 2 years. How many of you are new the past 2 years? How about in that past 5 years? How many of you new the past 5 years? You've been here less than 5 years. These past 5 years have brought tremendous change for the church in this city in particular. Now that other cities in Vietnam are looking at what God is doing in Hanoi and praying that God will spread this throughout the nation. So it's such an exciting time to be here, part of God's kingdom work in this city. In the past, we used to plan objectives for the year, and we still do that. But we've learned to say, okay, this is what we plan. Now, what is God going to surprise us with? And God always, every year, has a surprise for us. So we need to leave enough margin for God to be at work in our midst so that He can surprise us with His plans. Now, missional community is a term that we use to describe AJF. And this is about unified worship, genuine relationships, transformational outreach. But we also wanted our logo to reflect really the identity of what HIF is, this missional community. And so we've designed this new logo with the intent to reflect who we are and the language that we use. Because we don't say Hanoi International Fellowship every time when we're talking about it. We say HIF. We are HIF. But we are, as you can see in the design, an eclectic group, diverse group of people that is gathered around the cross. Now, somebody look at this and they see a tree. Or they can see the cross, but you also can see people. You can see each triangle with the dot is a person raising their hands, praising God. We are gathered around the cross. Different shapes and colors and different kinds of people. But the cross is what brings the unity to HIF. But also, you can see that they are looking outwards. They are facing outwards. So we're gathered around the cross, looking outwards. We're not just one community, but we're also a community of communities. Now that we have three locations, and this is the language that we use, HIF Westlake, HIF Meeting, and HIF Downtown. And so this logo will help us to stay current with the language that we're using, but also we want to encourage each congregation to continue to develop their own identity. And so if you've been at the different services, Westlake and Downtown and here at Meeting, even between the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock, there's quite a difference between the various communities. And so we want to encourage each community to develop their own identity and their uniqueness. And so this new team of congregational leaders that we have just prayed for this morning is their charge for this coming year to discover what is the identity of Meeting and how can we live out the vision of HIF here in this location with the people who are gathered here. You know, what's so unique and exciting about International Church is that by default we are discipling nations. Now, maybe your church back home, you would have to go to lengths to get people from other nations into your congregation or to go out to touch the nations. But here, people from all over the world are constantly flowing in and flowing out of HIF. And so, you know, whenever you stand in the elevator going up and down, you have like the United Nations just in one elevator. You know, it's so fun to work here at HIF because out of the 7 staff that we have 6 different nationalities. And when we're in the elevator going down or in the restaurant downstairs, it's always funny to see the expression of the Vietnamese looking at us. We're an odd bunch of people. You know, but like I said, God is eclectic. He loves it. And I love it too. And so, you know, people come from all the nations and then go out from here to all the nations. And so by default, whenever we have a connect group, when we have a service, when we have some activity or an event, we are making disciples of the nations. But that is our inward focus. And just like Peter was writing, it's not just about that. It's not just about gathering, but it's also our out focus. When we are scattered throughout the city, what do we do then? And so loving our city is the other side of the balance. And, you know, this year, you know, we're a little pond. You know, we're just a church of over 600 in a city of over 6 million. We're not very big pond here. And even the church citywide, over 6,000, you know. But God has decided to throw a big rock in our little pond that is creating such tidal waves that is impacting everything that we're doing. And that big rock that God has thrown into our pond is the Love Hanoi Festival. You may have heard something about it already. Some of you may already know the staff that is here with the Billy Graham Association attending this location. But this is what God is doing this coming year. And we want to be part of what God is doing. So last year, when we had the 100-year anniversary of the Protestant Church, right at the end of the program, when we were in that small stadium, the pastors got together and we said, next year, 500 years bigger in the National Stadium. That's what we said. You know, that same week, the local pastor got a phone call from the Billy Graham Association saying, our festivals in Thailand have been canceled due to the death of the king. Can we come to Hanoi? God is amazing, and he's full of surprises. And something that would have been unimaginable even 2-3 years ago, he is doing this year. Some of you may remember 2 years ago we did a what was called a appreciative inquiry process, and many of you met in this room trying to determine and seek the Lord for a vision and improvements in HIF. And we had this question: do you have a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal? So big that there's no way that we can do it ourselves. We have to do it together, and it must be a God thing, but not too big that we are, you know, discouraged by it. And Pastor Charlie, who was sitting with his group over in that corner, he shared with his group, oh, why don't we rent the National Stadium and then get tens of thousands of people and we share the gospel with them? And guess what the group did? They laughed at him 2 years ago. They were laughing at him, and he wasn't very happy because he was quite serious about his BHAG. Well, guess what? This was God's BHAG, and he's doing it right now, this year, and we're right in the middle of it. Now, if you don't know what something like this looks like, I have a little video clip that shows you the festival that took place in November in Yangon, Burma, where there the church said there's no way that God can do this. It would be impossible, and it happened anyways. So that's what it looks like when 75,000 get together for a festival. And in fact, what you saw on the screen was only half of the 75,000. I want to acknowledge the Billy Graham Association staff that's here. Would you guys stand up? And they are here, and they have a table in the lobby as well, and you can get more information from them after the service. But I want to ask Jeff, who is the director of the festival team here, to share a little bit about the strategy of this festival.
Thank you, Pastor Jakob. Well, it's an honor to be here with you all this morning to just be able to share a little bit of the vision and to be a part of this this big rock that's coming to the pond here in Hanoi. So many people have been knowing about the festival, what's upcoming, and I heard, you know, thank you earlier for praying for the festival and praying that this is something that's upcoming. But I'm actually here to tell you that the festival is right now. And the video that you just saw in Yangon, Myanmar, that was over 3 days. We had about 173,000 folks come out, with about a little over 7,000 making decisions for Christ. But believe it or not, that was not the festival. That was a little bit, a little part of what we're doing. And you know, everybody says when I tell them that we're not an event ministry, they kind of look at me a little shocked. Oh, not an event ministry? What was that we just saw on the screen? We're not an event ministry. Because events, they blow in, they blow up, and they blow out. They don't have an impact on the local church. And it's actually, when we look at the festival, the analogy I like to use that's for a visual is with an iceberg. And when you look at an iceberg, there's about 10% that sits above the water. There's 90% that's below that nobody sees. Nobody sees what's going on down there. So when we look at that as with regards to our festival, coming up December 8, 9, and 10, that's only 10%. That's the Love Hanoi Festival. That's what everybody's going to be seeing. And so what's happening now, from the time my family and I, Luke and Hannah, when we all moved here at the end of January, early February, this is the beginning of the preparation time. So that's 45% of that 90% that's below the water. So all the way up from now until December 8, 9, and 10, this is our preparation time. And then after the festival is done, we don't just, welcome new Christians and say, welcome to Christianity, have a nice life, see you later. We want to make sure we're following up, discipling those who come to Christ at the festival. And we have a lot of different ministries that help us along this path from preparation through the festival and then through the follow-up process. And three of them are, and you may have heard of them already since we've been here, and that's Operation Andrew, which is really a personal evangelism tool that we're using amidst all the churches in Hanoi to bring people to the festival. So that's how, you know, you look at that venue, well, how did you get so many people to come? It's because people were inviting their friends and family who don't know Christ to come to the festival. That's through Operation Andrew. And Dr. Billy Graham said it best. He said, I don't believe in mass evangelism, but personal evangelism on a massive scale. So it's all the churches here in Hanoi working together to bring the lost to one place. Then we have something called the Christian Life and Witness Course. And then, of course, the foundation of everything that we do is prayer, prayer, and prayer. And to explain a little bit more details on each one of these aspects, I'll turn it back over to Pastor Jakob to share. Right. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. So I just want to use the remainder of the time to explain to you how you, each one of you, can be part of this festival. Now, you've gotten quite a package this morning with your bulletin. And so if you would get the stuff out that's in the bulletin, that will be helpful. Because there's four or five different ways that you can be involved in Operation Andrew. First of all, it's prayer. And Jeff said, pray, pray, pray. That was Billy Graham's answer to how can you have a successful ministry? It's through prayer. And so every day, Vietnamese around the world at 12:08. Now you can decide if that's midnight or lunchtime. At 12:08 till 12:10, which if you can figure it out, December 8 to December 10 is the festival. So 12:08 through 12:10. So every day, 12:08, the Vietnamese Christians around the world are praying. So what I want you to do is take your phone, and you can, for once, take out your mobile phone in church. Go to your alarm settings, which on the Android, you just click on the clock, and then set an alarm for every day, 12:08. Okay, you can do that now. If you have your phone on you, please do that now, because you probably forget later. So 12:08, when the alarm goes, stick this in your wallet, or something that you carry with you, so that on each day you can pray for one of the things of the festival. So we pray for today is for the Love Hanoi Festival. Many people come to Christ through the festival. And tomorrow is for the government of Vietnam and the local government. So please start praying. Everyone can do this. Secondly, is to invite friends. We want to invite our friends. And that's what this Operation Andrew card is for. Now you can fold it up easily like this. And that way you can keep it in your pocket. But what it's really for is for you to write your name in the top on both sides and then write names of your friends that you're praying for. And what we want to do is not just invite them to the festival, although that's part of it, and part of the program will be in English, and when Dr. Franklin Graham is speaking, that will obviously be in English. But we also want to pray for our friends and invite them to HIF activities. Invite them to Sunday service. Invite them to your Connect group. Invite them to a party. Invite them to Christmas. Invite them to the Alpha course. And so we want to make this part of HIF to invite our friends. And the Billy Graham Association is challenging us to do this as a habit. And so this is what this card is for. And so after summer, when we come back, what we're going to do is you tear off this side. We'll collect these. And then as a church together, we will pray for your friends. So pray, invite. Thirdly, to grow. In September, the Billy Graham Association will be facilitating a 4-week course on Christian life and witness. And that will be held here also at HIF. And what we want to do is we want as many as possible to attend these courses. And so we're going to work with all the Connect groups and make sure that instead of competing for time, the Connect groups are able to participate in this 4-week course so that we are all on the same page by the end of this course and we know how to disciple and follow up with people through this festival period. And that is the next thing is those of you who are Christian workers and ministry leaders, you're invited to participate in this 2-hour seminar that is in the next 2 weeks. Three times it will be held here in HIF. And so this is where you will learn more information about the festival and how you as a ministry leader, as a Christian worker, can be involved in this festival in a leadership role. And so if you are interested, please see Jeff, Luke and Hannah at the table afterwards for more information. Finally, we need to build our own festival team. Right now it's just me working with Luke, and that's not a great team. Luke makes a great team member because he does all the work. But we need more people on the team. And so we want to invite you to be part of the HIF festival team. And so we need people who will be able to coordinate prayer, to coordinate the Operation Andrew at each location, the Christian Life and Witness course. I'm chairing the Love in Action team that is implementing our Love Hanoi vision and encouraging, inspiring all the churches to participate in that, as well as outreach coordinators for women, men, youth, and children. So if you are interested to be actively engaged in this festival, this big rock that God has thrown in our little pond, we need a lot of people to participate. So please use this form that's in your bulletin and hand it to the BGA staff after the service at the table. Well, this is a great thing that God is doing in our city. And there is no way that we are standing on the sidelines watching the local church do it all and have all the fun, right? Right? Right. No, we want to be in the thick of it, in the middle of it. We want to participate of it. You know, from the beginning, it's like, wow, how does the International Church play a role in this? Well, whatever role it is, I want all of it, the best of it, be part of it, and see our congregation not only benefit, but also grow in numbers having lives transformed from the nations in Vietnam that are present here. Are you with me? And I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, my personal BHAG at the end of all this is, my BHAG is to write a book about Love Hanoi. I've been working on this for the past 5 years. Pastor John has been a great mentor to me over these past 3 years, and I hope you keep working with me until I'm done, Pastor John. Because this is a BHAG to write a book. You know, I went to a trade school, so I wouldn't have to read books. God is full of surprises. And then, by April next year, HIF is hosting the annual conference of MICN here in Hanoi with the theme, Love Your City, Disciple the Nations. And wouldn't that be a great story to tell? You know, imagine next year, April, we're here again. Vision Sunday. What story are we going to tell of what God has done this past year? Can you imagine this? You know, it's hard to imagine. But God wants to give us more than we can ask or imagine. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this big rock that you've thrown in our little pond. It's so big, all churches and all church leaders are working together to see your kingdom come and your will be done in this city. Such a time as this. Now for us as an expatriate church, as an international church, there's no way we want to be left out. There's no way we want to stand on the sidelines. We want to see the nations touched here in Hanoi while this is going on. So, Lord, it's up to us to step up. It's up to us to respond to your challenge. It's up to us to participate and join hands with our local brothers and sisters to see not only this event, but the whole festival, the process before and after take place. And so we want to commit ourselves to pray. We want to commit ourselves to invite our friends. We want to commit ourselves to grow personally in this process. We want to commit ourselves to be able to disciple others who are responding as part of this festival. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one of us, that we would personally feel called, Lord, to take our role and to take our part, Lord, and to run this race that you've set before us this coming year. We pray in Jesus' name.